Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, December the 12th. Man, what a pretty day this morning, but then it's gotten a little windy, and I'm not sure about the temperatures, but, you know, sometimes when it's windy, it feels a little cooler, but it's 64, so really we cannot complain too much with 64. But anyway, beautiful day, that's all I will say. Today we're going to talk about a story coming out of Mexico that these Cuban doctors who were in Brazil are now going to be going to Mexico. And that's a very sad turn of events because these Cuban doctors should have never been in Brazil in the first place. So we'll get into it a little bit. There's all kinds of PC madness going on around. It had to do with that song, Baby It's Cold Outside. And, of course, the story of the Immaculate Conception. Some professor up in Minnesota has a theory about that, which is rather interesting. I want to begin, though, with a couple of quick stories out of the news today. There's a very good article by Leslie Marshall, who is a Democrat, over on the Fox News website, where she's sort of warning Democrats about impeachment, basically saying, hey, don't go there very quickly. You know, take your time. Don't go to impeachment very quickly. Do something else. And, of course, her point is completely correct. Most of the Democrats who won elections, and roughly about 40 of them did, which means they have a majority in the U.S. House of about 15 to 16. I'm not exactly sure what the number is, but either way, it's not a big majority. When you've got a majority in the House of 15, 16 votes, that's not a big majority, taking into consideration the fact that the House has 435 members. So a majority of 15 is not a lot to play with. And many of these members who were elected were not elected in districts where they were calling for the impeachment of President Trump. In fact, they weren't talking about it. They weren't talking about it at all. They were told, basically, by their party leadership not to talk about impeachment. So it's going to be a little bit, I think, complicated for the Democrats if that's all they focus on. They need to get some things done. They need to get some things done. They have a great opportunity now with President Trump to do something about the border. Great opportunity. They might be able to get DACA out of this if they're really interested. But anyway, Leslie Marshall is warning the Democrats, and again, she's a Democrat, warning the Democrats not to jump on this impeachment train because it may not take them where they want to go. Yesterday, you may have seen the story of President Trump and Senator Schumer and Representative Pelosi in the White House having sort of an open meeting about the border. And, of course, Senator Schumer and Representative Pelosi did not want to do a lot of talking on an open microphone or with an open microphone. And I understand exactly why, because this topic of border security is a lot more complicated for the Democrats than they realize. The fact is, border security has become a real problem since this caravan. And many of the Democrats, particularly Democrats who were elected in many of these very competitive districts, they're taking a look at it differently than Democrats like Nancy Pelosi or Maxine Waters or some of these other Democrats maybe who represent big cities in the north. They're looking at it differently because the voters in their districts on the border and so on are a lot more concerned about these caravans, I think, than the Democrats realize. So this is a rough one for the Democrats, which is why I don't think that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer wanted to talk about too much on an open microphone, because they've got a conflict in their party. There is the open borders crowd in the Democrat Party who just wants to open the border. And then you have, I think, a lot more centrist Democrats who are probably not that not much against a wall. I mean, if it was presented as part of a package to them, I think a lot of them would vote for it. So it's an interesting situation. I don't think anything's going to get done in the lame duck. We may very well have a shutdown of the government. I hope not, because when you shut down the government, you don't really shut it down in the sense that the essential services are still working. But what you basically do is you mess up somebody's vacation to Washington, D.C. That's kind of what you do. If you and your family are going to Washington, D.C. to see the monuments or whatever, you mess that up. So some family who made plans to go to Washington, D.C. now gets all screwed up. So it is in that sense a difficult thing to do. But you know what? We got to do something about border security. And if it means shutting down the government, I'm with Trump on this one. I'm with President Trump on this one. You've got to do something about the border. And if the Democrats were smart, they would say, okay, fine, we'll give you the $5 billion, but this is what we want. We want DACA, we want this, we want that. And I think they'll get it. I really do. I think they'll get it, and we'll get big things being done for a change instead of just saying no to everything. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. PC madness. This is truly insane. I mean, this is just truly, absolutely crazy. Well, the latest one, of course, is this song, Baby, It's Cold Outside. You know, I had heard that song many times over the years. I thought it was kind of a funny song. I never took it as anything other than what it was, just a fun thing. Kind of flirting around, two people flirting around. It came apparently from a movie in 1947. That's what I understand. And I guarantee you that in 1947, any song that was too risque was not going to get on the air. So I never took the song as anything other than just fun, just having a little fun over the fact that it was cold outside and it was warm inside, and of course the potential for romance, I guess, if you want to call it that way. But now all of a sudden, this song has become this latest crisis in PC. And it's just crazy. It's just absolutely crazy. I have a post over at the American Thinker about this today. Not just this song, but also the other crazy politically correct mandate. And this is a professor at the University of Minnesota who's saying that the Immaculate Conception, you know, when the angel appeared to Mary and told her that she was going to be the mother of Jesus, that apparently was another example of getting a woman pregnant without her consent. That Mary never gave her consent, I guess, to the angel who came down and told her that she was going to be the mother of Jesus. Well, this is really truly insane. It's beyond, it's not only insulting to Christians, but it's completely insane. The Immaculate Conception is one of the important things, one of the important components of the Christian faith. The fact that Jesus was born differently, if you will, than a regular man, that he was the Son of God and therefore had to be born this way. This is a very important part of the Christian faith. And I think people who are not Christians ought to respect the fact that this is an important part of our faith. I don't draw any conclusions or make any fun of other people's religions. I don't sit around saying, well, gee, you know, that story about Moses and the Ark, you know, this is, of course, the Old Testament that the Jews believe, or that story about the Passover, that's not really true. That really didn't happen. You know, I don't do that. I respect the fact that it's part of their religion, and I respect the fact that they believe it. And I just go on my way, and I'm not sitting around, you know, passing judgment on other people's religions. And I wish that more people of the politically correct crowd would just keep these opinions to themselves and let the rest of us enjoy whatever song we want to enjoy, or enjoy whatever ceremonies or whatever things we want to believe about our religion. And all of these politically correct people, just keep your opinions to yourself. We don't want to hear it. We don't need to hear it. And that's it. Just keep it to yourself. You know, we've got better things to do with our lives than to sit around. Every 5 minutes, you've got some politically correct person challenging the things that we grew up believing, the things that are part of our traditions. I think it's time for these people to just let go. Let go and just let us enjoy our songs and let us enjoy our traditions. We're going to take a little break. We're going to hear from my friend Carlos. We'll be right back.
This is Carlos Guedes Harpiz. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sissiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sissiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to all of that on the show information, Carlos' schedule, and we also have a link to our friend Duke Machado, who is a car dealer here in Texas. Just a couple of brief mentions on this day in history. We got some really musical heavyweights today to remember. Frank Sinatra was born on this day in 1915. He was born in New Jersey. He died in 1998. I remember the day that he died. I remember, all of the stations were playing Frank Sinatra music. I remember that, 1998, when he passed away. I think it was in the month of May when he passed away. We say happy number 78 to one of my real favorites, Dionne Warwick. This lady was just absolutely great in her younger days. She was just absolutely great. And we say happy number 81 to Connie Francis, another very popular singer, more like, I guess, in the 60s, but very nice songs that she wrote and recorded as well. Well, let's talk a little bit about these Cuban doctors. Some of you who may not be familiar with it, the Cuban government will do stuff like this. They will actually send Cuban doctors to other countries, and then the country pays the government for the doctors, and then the government pays the doctor. For example, in the case of Brazil, where these doctors had been until recently, the Brazilian government would pay the Cuban government $3,500 per doctor every month. And then the Cuban government would give $900 to the doctor. You know, if you're a doctor, that's not a good deal. But for the Cuban government, this was a source of cash. It's a source of foreign currency, hard currency, something they desperately need. And when the new president of Brazil took over, Mr. Bolsonaro, who comes from the right, he said, we're not going to continue this arrangement when I become president, which is January the 1st. We're not going to continue this arrangement. Okay, either we pay the doctors directly and they can bring their families to Brazil with them, or, you know, they're going back to Cuba. Now, the reason the Cuban government didn't allow the family to travel, it's obvious they didn't want the family to ask for asylum. So what they would do is they would send a man, let's say, to Brazil for 9 months, bring him back, and then they send him back a month later or whatever. But during that time, he was separated from his family, and the Cuban government was keeping like 75% of his income. He was just getting $900 to live for him and his family, and the Cuban government was keeping the difference. Well, as I say, Brazil said, we're not going to do this anymore unless the money goes directly to the doctor and the doctor can bring his family to Brazil. Well, Cuba said, no, we're not going to do that. So we thought that these doctors were going to go back to Cuba, basically. Now it turns out the doctors are going to Mexico. The Mexican government, the new president of Mexico, has apparently negotiated a deal with the Cuban government to bring some of those doctors here. And the interesting thing about this negotiation is that it has not been officially announced by the president of Mexico, but everybody believes that it did happen because there's a lot of stuff going on. I guess we call that leaks up here. And there's a lot of stuff that it is in fact happening, but of course the president of Mexico is denying it, and he's denying it because I think he knows that many Mexicans are not going to react very nicely to something like this, bringing in doctors from other countries, and on top of that the doctors are not making a lot of money. I was talking this morning with a friend of mine who is a Mexican doctor in Mexico City. He's actually a surgeon. And I was asking him about it, you know, what do you think of this as a Mexican doctor? What do you think of Mexico doing this? And he said, you know, I don't criticize the doctors because I understand, you know, they're just trying to do whatever they can to get money for their families. But I do criticize, you know, the Cuban government for doing this. And I think I would be very critical of the Mexican government. This is my friend doctor speaking. I would be very critical of the Mexican government participating in this kind of a scheme. And then I asked him, you know, what about public opinion? Do you think most Mexicans agree with you? And he said, yes, I think most Mexicans see this for what it is, which is a terrible form of exploitation of these Cuban doctors. So, look, it is really sad, you know, when countries participate in this kind of exploitation. We're talking about the 21st century. And there's still the Cuban government engaging in this kind of exploitation. Look, I'm not surprised that the Cuban government does it, but believe me, I am very disappointed that the new government of Mexico, supposedly a left-to-center candidate who supposedly cares a great deal about workers and cares a great deal about people, is participating in this kind of exploitation. Well, I think it's a shame. If Mexico is doing this, that's a terrible shame and a really black eye for Mexico. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you the next time. Bye-bye, everybody.